You're listening to Creative Thursday, episode number 165. Welcome to Creative Thursday with Marisa Ann Cummings. We're talking all things life, business, and creativity intended to inspire and empower you wherever you are on your creative journey, both personally and professionally. Thank you for listening.
Great artwork is created because the artist has an insane sensitivity. They have amazing sensibilities of what they like and what they don't, and they've refined it over time. The better you get at refining those sensitivities, those choices, the curation, so to speak, of your art, when you apply that to your life and your art, both are activated and both are lifted.
Hi, hello, it's Marisa here. And today I have a very special guest with me. I will keep this intro as brief as possible because I just want you to jump right into this episode. I'm telling you right now, you are going to feel so inspired and energized and reminded of why you chose this path as an artist. And if you are choosing this path also as an artist in business, you will feel reassured. Your confidence will be ignited all over again. I'm telling you, I just finished the final editing touches on this episode, and I just thought, I've just got to go grab some paintbrushes and I've got to make some art. And I am so proud of the fact that I chose this path in my life. You're going to love it. So let me introduce you to Nicholas Wilton. He was born in San Francisco and spent most of his youth exploring the wilderness of Marin County, as he says, and he studied in various schools here in California, and he has worked as an illustrator. You may recognize his work from the cover of The Four Agreements. I love that book by Don Miguel Ruiz. I always remember how beautiful that cover was, or is. And Brené Brown's The Gift of Imperfection. And I have come to know Nicholas through a shared business coach and mentor, Stu McLaren. I talk about meeting Nicholas, well, really getting to hear him speak in person at Stu's event, Tribe Live, that's held in Canada every year. And I immediately ran up to Nicholas and said, I have to talk to you more about this. And would you be willing to come and speak on the podcast? Because everything that he was sharing on that stage that day, I just thought, this is such a wonderful reminder of just really the beauty of this life and the possibilities that we have. He and I share the same sentiment about what an amazing time it is to be an artist, and just knowing that there are more mentors like Nicholas in the world. And best part is, and I saved this episode so you would be reminded right away, I want you to write down the website art and the number 2life.com, because Nicholas is hosting his annual workshop. He hosts a free art workshop online and then also invites you to join him in the Creative Visionary Mentoring Program following the workshop. And I believe it only happens once a year, so I wanted to make sure that this was top of mind for you, because I know as a listener of Creative Thursday, you would absolutely love to learn from Nicholas. I will definitely be joining him for that workshop. It starts on Valentine's Day. So this episode is releasing right before February, our final few days of January. So it should give you a chance to jump in and learn more about Nicholas. You can also find him at nicholaswilton.com, as he is an abstract painter and currently working on really large pieces and sells those and shows those also. So I know you are going to, did I tell you how much I think you're going to love this episode? I can't wait to hear your thoughts and to continue the discussion with me on Instagram. Be sure to reach out to Nicholas as well and say thank you for sharing his time and thoughts with us today. You can find him at Nicholas Wilton, and it's NICHOLASWILTON. And pretty much you can also go to his direct website, nicholaswilton.com, and his mission statement right at the top of his website, reignite your creativity. That sums it up. That is how you will feel when you listen to this episode. So without further ado, my conversation about art, creativity, life, business, all of my favorite topics, and then some. Enjoy my conversation with Nicholas. Welcome, Nicholas. This is truly a treat for me to have you join me on the podcast today. Before we get into what I suggested our topic might be, the beautiful marriage or harmony between art and business, because I invited you to join me here on the podcast because I heard you speaking at Tribe Live and I thought, now this is a successful artist and painter and business owner, and you seem to have such a wonderful, calm, just very relaxed approach to these topics that can get very, they can really kind of be a challenge for artists. And I know I have a passion for helping artists move through that, and I know that you do as well. So I would love for us to talk about that. But before we go into the topic, if you would just introduce a little bit of your story here at the opening. I didn't realize that you were here in Pasadena and got some training down here near LA and in Santa Barbara, because you're in Sausalito now, correct?
Right, right. Well, listen, Marissa, thanks for having me. And I'm just excited to talk to all the artists today, your friends. So I've always made art, and I was fortunate enough to go to a really great art school, Art Center College of Design in Los Angeles. And, and I worked tremendously hard there, and so I'm a hard worker. And I guess the moral of the story is, for years I thought that if you worked really, really hard, and in art making you have to do this, that I almost use that as a way to help myself. Because if you work really hard, I was taught that you can get ahead. You can pull something off if you work really, really hard. And it took a long time to realize that it wasn't the fact that I was necessarily working hard that made it so I could accomplish things. It was the fact that I believed I was entitled to accomplish things because I was working hard. But you don't need to work so hard and kill yourself in order to go after and achieve progress. It's more about the mindset of understanding that you're capable of doing this, that this is a possibility for you. So I work with a lot of artists, and that's an area that I tend to work on the most, because if you can change someone's thinking, you can really change their art and all the possibilities around building a career out of it. So a lot of what I teach is around mindset and getting rid of those limiting beliefs that exist around art making, especially as a career.
Oh my goodness, that is my favorite. So I would absolutely welcome and love for you to talk specifics on that. I think that as we evolve in business, online, and as creatives, and we have access to so many wonderful people that we can learn from and can mentor us, we are starting to realize that, like you said, gosh, that was such a wonderful point of you can have all this hard work and that doesn't necessarily entitle you to anything, or necessarily the action doesn't always translate in the way that you hope it will or intend for it to. And we can learn all of, you know, I hear that we're on some sort of a saturation sometimes of learning all of these practical tips, and it's not necessarily always moving the needle for people in the way that they want. And I believe that it's leading us to a place where we're saying, okay, it's got to be more than this. And it has to be around our mind and our beliefs, and especially when it comes to making art, because that's such a personal and often subjective form of creation in the world as well. So are you sensing that also? Did you come to this just through your own journey of becoming a professional artist and then going on to teach? Are you seeing this in the students that you've been teaching? Because how many years have you been leading your courses and your membership?
Well, I've taught for many years. I've live destination workshops. So decades. So I've always taught as part of my practice, a part of my art making practice. I believe and I teach that, you know, you can learn and help yourself a lot in your art if you teach. So it really dovetails nicely into my art practice. But what was challenging for me, and I think we all end up, if we're going to teach something, we teach something that was helpful for ourselves or a challenge. The teaching, the knowledge that we most appreciate that we have to offer usually comes out of the difficulties that we experience. And that was my case. I found that there was not a lot of information out there for someone like myself who was trying to become an artist and trying to financially support myself. Artists don't generally share who are successful, and that was very frustrating because they fear competition. There was just not a lot of information. I suffered greatly from the sporadic performance of my own art making. Some days I would be really good, and then other days for 2 weeks I would make nothing but, you know, inferior, crappy work. It was so frustrating. I was on a roller coaster. And if you're on a roller coaster with your work, and sometimes you like it, sometimes you don't, and sometimes it takes 3 weeks, sometimes it takes an afternoon, how on earth are you supposed to like put that into any kind of a system that relates to commerce? I mean, it was a nightmare. So what I started to do is I started to take notes, and I started to pay attention to when I was successful, what I was doing. I looked at what I was eating. I looked at when I worked. I looked at what my mindset was. I looked at the kinds of information that I didn't have, and the kinds of things that made a difference. I looked at the process of art making. I studied the process of my art making. And so what came out of that was an approach, a new approach to creativity. And that's called the Art to Life process. And that's how Art to Life came about. I teach a way of working, an approach that can help people discover and ignite their art. And there's basically three kind of, you know, buckets of information that I teach that are required, are necessary for an artist to be successful. And the first one is you have to have all the information. What I've discovered, and Marissa, I think you've probably discovered this too, that the art education is very spotty, and they do not teach all the information you need to be able to understand art making, to be able to troubleshoot your art, and to be able to finish your work and get that. Like, there, people are not taught. There's just a whole bunch of information. Now, it's not impossible to learn it all. It's not that much, but it's a chunk. It's a lot. So I teach that information. The next thing that is not taught that I teach is I teach a way of working, a process of working that's sustainable and can be adapted into the kind of art making that the artist wants to make. It's very difficult for artists to keep going. Procrastination, their confidence, all these things work against them. And so having a process that is bulletproof, a practice that actually can make this work, is really, really important. And so that's the second thing I teach. And the third thing that I develop and offer people is a community. Having like-minded people to show your work to and get feedback from is the third piece that was missing for me that is no longer missing. And I bring those three things to artists, and they even start to learn this, and their art can really take off. So those are the pieces, the missing pieces for me that I see out there that Art to Life is providing.
Wow. I'm so taking your course, Nicholas.
Yeah. It's you know, we promote the Creative Visionary Program, our 12-week course, basically through just case studies of members who have gone through the program who have just had an unbelievable transformation. We are looking to transform people's art and their mindset and their whole experience and their whole life, actually. The Art to Life, we're named that way because there's that, as you believe, there's a total connection. Yeah. Your life has to get amazing in order for your art to get amazing, and vice versa.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Yeah, I was sharing with you that I often say this on this podcast, it's life, creativity, and business. It's all intertwined. And I love hearing you talk about this. And I'm so thrilled that this kind of a program exists, because I took some art classes in college, but I really didn't, unfortunately, hook in with professors that I felt like I really could really support me in that way, where for sure I never learned, you know, immediately I wanted to ask you, well, how do you decide when your work is good? And with the growth of the online space and more artists like me, who I basically decided I wanted to do this and I put my work online and I have been mostly self-taught and built a business and then started going back to learn more about the art process. I'm so fascinated in just how you are able to edit the work that you create, and then what you talk about as well in terms of just having, I love that you use the word bulletproof, process of continuing to create work, because that is the other piece of the equation. If we're talking about the balance between creativity and business, is that if an artist really wants to make a career today, there is way more, and it continues to grow, way more tasks and areas of focus that need to be filled out just on the marketing side alone of selling your work. And one of the areas I really want to cultivate for people is having that sacred time or a bulletproof process that they focus on making their work, because nothing exists without making our work. We need to make it in order to sell it if that's our business, and we also need to make it in order for our joy and peace and our life component, and also just to evolve and become better. So I love everything that you're saying. And where would you, I think the question within all of that is simply to say, how does someone begin to understand the process of their work and where they're creating something that is really good versus where you were saying that you were struggling with just creating things that didn't flow as easily?
Everything I teach artists, I'm really careful because I teach, everything I teach is doable. Everything I teach doesn't really cost a lot. There's no magic software program, or there's no heavy reading to be done or anything like that. It has to do with cultivating a sensitivity to yourself. And it's so lovely to come back to that again and again and again, because it really is about building discernment about what's a yes for you and what's a no for you. And so we begin there. I connect feelings that one has with things in your life that brings you alive, whether it's doing a yoga class or running on the beach or bird watching, whatever the things are, whatever brings you alive in your life, that feeling has also got to come out of your art making. That's the sort of beginnings of choosing the kind of work you want to make, the kinds of colors you have. You know, we all are able to intuitively, you know, if I held up two things for you, and I often do this in a workshop, if I held up a pair of scissors and a pencil instantly, and I said, choose one, which one do you like? You'd be able to choose. You just sort of like everyone has an opinion. They'll just, it's not because the pencil's more useful. You just intuitively like, I like the feeling of that. And that's what we need to do and get really good at it. We got to get really good at knowing what we like and what we don't. And part of the way we do that is checking in with the internal sort of emotional detector of ourselves and paying attention to that. Great artwork is created because the artist has an insane sensitivity. They have amazing sensibilities of what they like and what they don't, and they've refined it over time. The better you get at refining those sensitivities, those choices, the curation, so to speak, of your art, when you apply that to your life and your art, both are activated and both are lifted. So it's pretty amazing because you know, there's not a lot of, you don't get a lot of pushback from teaching people to do more of what they love. In fact, once they get going, they're unstoppable.
Oh, so it's so wonderful. Oh my
God. So goodness. Simple, right? It's so simple.
I know. And yet, you know, the challenges that you are addressing they're so normal and common. And it seems that for the artist, this journey of really, I wrote it down, this connecting to this sensitivity to oneself. That is such a beautiful sentiment, because it really does become about knowing that, knowing yourself, connecting in that way, and then really trusting it, right? Not second guessing it or worrying about how it's going to be received or you know, all of this self-doubt and this
right.
Confidence, you know, the wavering confidence can really play a role in how much an artist flourishes in whatever medium or wherever they choose to share that work. It's just such an important piece.
You know, how an artist, if I'm working with someone, what I'm actually doing, and sort of a good summary of what I just said, is I'm taking, there's all kinds of distractions and all kinds of input that we get, but what we want to focus on are the internal ones, and all the ones about looking over your shoulder, all of those are external. How that person's doing better than you, how your art in comparison, those are not helpful. We have to stay focused on the internal stimulations and develop those, because that will make work that's personal, and that will make work that's authentic, because no two people are the same. And so my business plan for an artist is simply that. If I am positive, if that artist can develop work that is like them, truly like them, and as authentic and based upon the internal thoughts and feelings and emotions of that person, then the art will stand out in the world and it will attract others, because Everybody's walk collectors, everybody, everyone's walking around the planet looking to feel alive. They're looking to experience something new and different that is unlike them. And that's why people buy art. So this, you know, yes, looking outside of yourself, that's something that you just have to kind of curb that, because it will not serve you. It does not help in developing your work.
Are most of the students who come to you, are they self-taught and wanting to learn from you and just dipping their toe in? Or do you also have students who have degrees in art? Where do you see most of your students in either of those categories?
We get a tremendous amount of artists that have been making art for decades. And, you know, it's so frustrating, and I don't know if anyone on this who's listening to this now can relate, but, you know, when you're making something, like, you're an artist, and that's what you do, and it's not like you have a choice in the matter. You're probably not going to give up and become a plumber at this stage, but it really sucks that you can't do this in a way that, you know, Thanksgiving's coming, and I mean, you know, like, well, how's it going, you know, Jessica? And it's like, have you sold anything, or how's your art going? And every year, year after year, to just sort of like not have this thing really take off. I mean, you're doing it, but it's really nice to be doing it in a way that the world can kind of show up and help you. And that's, we, you know, there's a lot of people that their careers and their art making has just been kind of like, it just hasn't really taken off. And so we get a lot of people that are like that. We get a lot of people that are kind of bored, actually, and they're stuck. They've had tremendous success, but that becomes a rut because they're too afraid to change, because it was so hard to get there that, you know, they're painting sailboat paintings and they're terrified to change it.
Yeah.
But, you know, so we get a lot of that. We get a lot of people that are just creatively curious. And that's the people that, oh my God, they can get this information in a matter of a few months of work and attention that they can jumpstart their careers and save literally, I mean, I would say our program saves 10 years, you know, like I know, cause I had to do it the hard way. So, yeah. You know, it's just like giving people the right information and the right tools. So they can leverage their most important asset, which is themselves. Everyone's got all this. There's nothing I'm saying here that's rocket science. It's like, you know what? Everyone listening, you know you have this inside of you. You know you do. We just have to get it out. And everybody does. Everyone has the potential. Everyone has unlimited creativity. Everyone can do this. They just have to be interested. And I also teach that. And that's a huge limiting belief that, you know, I'm talented and he's not, or she is, and I am. I have never met anyone who I haven't been able to teach, help, and watch make incredible, personal, authentic work. Not one.
Oh, that's so inspiring. That is the greater mission. That has definitely been one of my greater missions, because I'm one of those people that had to say, this is in me and I'm doing it. and then, you know, just take one step in front of the other and find community that were supporting me in that process. And it's just one of the most fulfilling things that you can do, whether you choose to make it a business or not. Do you find that most of your students end up wanting to turn it into a career or even start selling work? Or do you also have a combination of people who are just purely there for, like you said, the curiosity of creativity and exploring that further?
Well, you know, we get both, of course, but here's what happens for the person who, you know, what ultimately we all want, and I wanted this, and it depends on which stage you're in, but, you know, you just want to make some work that you really, really love. You know, like that's a pretty great day, right? You know,
yes.
When you make a painting that you love, I mean, forget about selling it. It's pretty awesome. Except what happens is once you start being able to do that, the next greatest thing is when somebody else sees it and they say, wow, I love that. And that feels pretty good too. And then the next thing is when that person says, you know, can I buy this from you? And even if you're not looking to sell it, I haven't met many people that just don't really love the fact that someone connects so much with what, who you are, that they want to buy something from you. So often it turns into, you know, we've had people that it's just turned into like, you know, a side thing they're doing, and then it's turned into a bigger thing. And, you know, so it's, it kind of, it turns into that often. You know, when the work gets strong, all kinds of things start happening. You know, people want strong, powerful artwork in the world. And if you start sharing it, people will ask for it.
Yeah, you describe what I say, that there's nothing better than creating work that you love, that someone else loves enough to purchase it from you and put it in their home. It's like, they're just, I never lose my joy over that experience. It's so, right. So wonderful. Truly. It is such a, yeah, it's just such a gift to be able to do that. So how do you, in the process of teaching and selling your work, your primary medium is painting. Is that correct? That's your favorite that you're working in?
Yeah, I personally, my own personal work, I mean, yeah, yeah. I do large, I'm making right now large abstract paintings. Kind of mixed media. They're oil, but I use acrylic paint sometimes to begin them. I use cold wax in the paint. And they're pretty textural, and I use a lot of sanding and scraping.
Yeah, you can follow along with Nicholas's journey at Nicholas Wilton on Instagram. I love seeing what you're up to, because you do these great videos where it shows some of your process as you're going through. I love your work as well. And where I'm going with this is, how do you, now that you have been in business this long and your work is collected and you sell it, and then you also have these beautiful, successful courses, how do you find that balance between, or that harmony between your creativity and everything that comes with running such a successful business now as an artist?
Well, definitely, people who can help you. Remember earlier I was talking about discernment and getting clear about what's a yes and what's a no. What I love about artists and what I love about teaching creativity and art making is that much of that content, much of the lessons from that really, really apply to business. You know, and this is something that, you know, artists don't realize, that they are naturally optimized to do business. I know that's not common.
Wait, what did you say, Nicholas?
I believe, yes, exactly.
Did you say this, naturally optimized to do
naturally
business?
Optimized, but it has to do with leveraging the things and understanding business in terms of how we're making art. Creativity. I'm not talking about a business that's just a mind-numbing business. I'm talking about approaching business the same way you approach a piece of your art. You know, how, asking the hard questions and being curious about different ways of doing things. You know, in art making, to make your art amazing, you've got to really choose what you end up doing in your art. To make an amazing business, you have to also be really careful and thoughtful about what you choose you are going to be doing in that business. And things that you don't like doing don't necessarily have to be part of that business, or maybe you can give them to somebody else. So the question becomes, how can I do my business in a way that I can show up for and that leverages the particular things that I love doing? Like, I love talking to artists. And right now, you know, instead of filling out a spreadsheet, I'm talking to you on this podcast because that's what I'm better at, actually. And so, you know, I've got someone who is kind of a little better at doing Excel spreadsheets than me, and I stopped doing it. Now, I know that takes, you got to get your team a little bit, you got to get some people to help you. But even setting up the business, you know, getting clear about what brings you alive, And keeping your business and understanding and defining it more narrowly so you can be more happy in it and more like you in it. And that's, you know, it's a process of discovering, just like a piece of art. It's an evolving, growing thing. So I don't see them that differently, actually.
Wow. Thank you for saying all of that. It's nice to know that there are artists that share in this sensibility, because I know for me, in having the privilege of working with artists, I just really want to bring more fun to the process of business and passion, very much like what you're saying, that, you know, business is all about creativity, and it is similar. It's similar to developing a process around your business as it is to generating your art, and really, like you said, putting that kind of thought into where you want to go and allowing it to be a discovery. I do think that we forget to say that, you know, as we have this opportunity to see so many people succeeding in so many ways, that it is a discovery. This took you, you can now help people do it faster. Yay. I am hoping to do the same. But how did you discover this? It wasn't something that you just came out of art school and you thought, okay, now I have this down, right? It's been a process of just connecting, I imagine, you with you, the kind of work you want to do, and just
yes,
living.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I was an illustrator for many years, and an illustrator is a person who's hired by somebody to make a piece of art to, in my case, you know, describe something or give a concept or whatever. And so I was given all kinds of assignments for all kinds of things. And what I noticed over years, actually, was the things that I was interested in, just coincidentally, the art that I made for it, for those jobs, that was better. And I got awards for those. I won awards, and, you know, those were just better because I was more excited about it. There was a connection between my passion and the thing I was doing. And when I wasn't interested in it, which makes total sense, it was kind of dry and not that good. Now I got paid for it, but it wasn't as satisfying. It wasn't as good. And so over time, I ended up seeing how people responded to what I was making. That was the more personal it became, the more connected it became to what I'm passionate about, the stronger the result, and the more people connected to it. And business is simply people connecting to whatever you're offering, you know, products or services, and they're connecting to it, but they're ultimately connecting to your connection to it. You know, if you're passionate about your art, in fact, you can't, in my opinion, make art that you're not passionate about. And that's really what I'm working with a lot of artists in the Creative Visionary program on, getting clear of, I can't tell them what it is, but I give them a path to discovering that. If they can get clear about that, the art just naturally gets better. And in business, you know, people are actually buying your enthusiasm. They're buying your course and your program or whatever the thing is, but I don't know a business plan where you just game it, I don't coach that way. I don't, you know, we're not talking about making potato chips and you make them the same and you get a factory. I'm talking about mission-driven, purpose-driven businesses that I think artists are interested in, whether it's they're selling the art they love or creating a course or writing a book, whatever the things are, they're connected to it personally. And those kind of businesses are just anchored to your own passion, and that's the secret sauce.
I couldn't agree more. So, and I, speaking of agreements, I was doing some research, and I didn't realize that one of the covers you did was The Four Agreements, which is such a wonderful book. Was that one of the pieces that got such a great response? Because I can actually visualize that cover and the colors in my mind. It was such an impactful cover.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a perfect example. that at the time, the publisher called me up. It was a no-name publisher. She had already hired an illustrator to do that book cover, but he didn't do a good job. She had to deliver the project, I think, the next day. And she had $300. That's all she could afford. And normally for a book cover at then would have been like $1,000 or whatever, but she had to pay the guy. But the reason I took the project was because, one, I knew that she didn't have any time, so she couldn't art direct me, so I could do whatever I thought was best, and there was no time to change it. So I had creative freedom, and that's what I was signing up for. Plus, that particular subject, you know, the Buddhist text of that and personal transformational content is what's interesting to me. That interests me. So it was kind of, it was just a, you know, a project that I took because it resonated with me personally. I mean, there's no way that if you look at that book's called The Four Agreements, and I painted four flowers on it. Like back then, or talking about, this doesn't make any sense, but it was perfect for that book as far as I was concerned. And the book went on and did very well, and Oprah Winfrey picked it up for Book of the Club, Book Month Club or whatever, and it exploded, and it actually rooted me in that market, which I'm still in. You know, I'm interested in the emotional landscape of creativity, and that's what I teach, that's what I study, that's my passion. So it was that's a perfect example of a book. It led to me working with Brené Brown on all of her content, and it's actually the content of the book I'm writing right now on creativity, art, and life. So it's that's a perfect example of that.
Wow, that must have just been it. Was that a huge turning point for you in your career when all of that happened?
Well, it was just a confirmation of what I was beginning to realize, because there were other examples of that, you know. Rarely does the big money for something, you know, show up when we're following something that we just is our heart. It's not really about that, at least not in the beginning. I mean, maybe later, you know, you've got to be doing things that you care about, that you love. That needs to be the reward almost, you know. As I said, like that project, many of the projects, I discovered that the best kind of illustration for me, the best place in the market, was in the cheapest one, which is the editorial sector, which is all for magazines and they don't have a big budget, but you get creative freedom. And I'll take that, you know, like any day, because that allows for growth. That allowed for me to change and evolve and improve. And I know I'm speaking to the converted here, but you know, if you're stuck in your art making, it's terrible. And artists just like to change and evolve and improve, and I'm the same way.
Yes, you touched upon evolution, and just once you are established for something, you know, having the bravery to change out of it or to try different styles or to work in different mediums, it requires a whole new level of courage that I didn't know until I started to want to go in that direction as well. It's a beautiful process and a discovery that really you can't put a time limit on it. You know, you have to just kind of see where it's leading you. And I think going back to what you were saying in the beginning, just really having that solid connection to that sensitivity to who you are. And you really also discover that by continuing to make your work and trying things out, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, this is something that is so important to understand, that, you know, I believe that your soul, you know, it already knows what brings you alive. And once you kind of wire something and you become the expert in painting sailboats, and I'm nothing against painting sailboats or whatever it is, after a while, you know, what brings people alive is change. You know, it's doing something new, trying to be different, coming up. You know, it's like our birthdays only happen once a year, and it's a great day, but it's not actually that amazing of a day, but what makes it great is it's just a little different than all the other ones. So that's what we have to understand about, you know, how do we optimize ourselves? It's by changing. And your soul craves it, and it doesn't care whether it's a good financial decision or whether it makes sense or whether your mother thinks it's a good idea or not. It knows what's best for you, and it knows that you'll come alive if you get to experience and feel the world in a direct and meaningful way, in new ways, in your life. That's why we're here, right? We all have that, you know, that's why people buy art in the first place. They can't even come close to the kind of discoveries that artists can, but they can kind of feel the same thing by buying something that showcases somebody else's discovery, and they hang it in their wall, and it's so different than their world, and it makes them feel alive, and it makes them feel part of this conversation, and that's why it's worth so much.
Oh my goodness. Hear, hear.
Yeah, right?
Everything you're saying, like, well, let's make that a quote. I'm happy to know that you're writing a book.
Yeah, right, right.
Well, I would love a deck of cards. And
Yeah.
And I know that I could talk to you forever. I just love hearing what you're sharing. And of course, I want to honor your time. I'm so thankful that you know your strengths and that you choose to come and speak with artists, because it's too one of my favorites to have these conversations. And one question I wanted to close with is just this continues to be a challenge that I see for artists. And many times we can rely upon, you know, the visuals of our work or just the work itself, but we don't always want to be more front-facing. And really, you said it so well, you know, share that enthusiasm, and that our collectors are looking for that and that aliveness. And how do you advise an artist to begin to not only have that confidence in sharing their work, but bring themselves into the story and bring themselves forth as part of the whole experience of connecting with the work?
Yeah. Well, first of all, we have to understand the value of what we're doing, because there's a lot of, you know, starving artists and, you know, all of these things. But, you know, kind of what I was saying before about, you know, most people won't answer the call within them. You know, most people won't go near the uncertainty of being creative. And so we're a special breed, and I really believe this. I mean, I love artists, because, you know, it's like they're willing, they can feel it, and they're being truthful, and they're answering it. So know that most of the people walking the planet can never do this, and they too feel this desire, but they can't. So that should give you a little bit of confidence that what you are putting out in the world is inspiring. You know, it's worthwhile. And, you know, a lot of artists, they postpone sharing their work, postpone having an art show, postpone selling their work, because they don't feel they've arrived. There's some place where they have to be at some very high level in order to have confidence. Mm-hmm. And that really isn't the case, because, you know, what is most inspiring to people looking in is seeing somebody authentically searching and trying to discover and learn what it is that lights them up. And, you know, the art is getting better. And it's like, I'm just in this place. I'm learning how to do this. And this is what it looks now. But I'm super excited. What do you think? Look at what I'm making. And last week, I made 5 bad paintings. And this week, I made one that I kind of like. I just can't wait to share it with you. There's nothing wrong. In fact, that is so enticing and almost viral content for the world. We want to cheerlead. People want to cheerlead those who go out on the skinny branches of their individuality and try to do this for the rest of us. It's really valuable. It's a gift. So if you can start thinking about that, that it's almost your duty to share with those that you love and just let them see what it looks like so they can move a little closer. Maybe it won't be art, but maybe they'll read a different kind of book, or maybe they'll take a different kind of vacation, or maybe they'll, you know, who knows? But the more people start waking up to what they have inside of themselves and how they can share that and be that, the better this world will be, for sure. So I think it has to do with value, understanding the value, and then take small steps to sharing. You don't have to just go crazy. Just get an Instagram account. Just share once a week. Just put it out a little bit. Being generous creates a reciprocity with people, and they will give it back. And it's incredible what comes back. I mean, I've built an entire career around just sharing stuff. That's all I really do because I love it. And I get to meet people like you, and I'm sure we're going to have some cool things in the future because of this. You know, it's like, it's just about sharing. And when you share, it's just such a win. You get to learn, you get to be inspired. You know, I get inspired by my teaching and who gets to come, who's in my world. And, you know, it's just such a win-win. It really is. You know, I spend most of my time alone in a studio trying to figure it out by myself. And I'm telling you, that's the hard way to go, you know?
Yeah. Gosh, you're reminding me of my whys.
Yeah, right.
And that, again, is just why we share, because someone listening will get connected all over again, and why we find communities of, you know, heart-centered creatives and people wanting to make a difference in this world. It's continually connects us to, I agree with you. I think I wrote in my book, if more people were just creative somewhere, I know this is pretty hopeful, but we might find more world peace, because I think that when people, just like you said, whether it's art or some form of what's inside of them, I really never thought of it in such a way that by being an artist and sharing my art in the world, that by someone coming in contact with it, it actually opens them up to some part of themselves, whatever that is. I think very often I've equated it to opening their own creativity or own artistic side, but it's really opening to their soul in that way.
Yes, totally. It's a connection, right?
Connection.
It's a bid for connection. And when somebody connects with you, it's an amazing feeling. But what they're saying is, I find part of me in you. And that is like, that wow. Can change everything, right? Like, you know, countries, if you can connect with, if countries can connect to other countries, if people can see other people, we're not going to alienate each other. It's only when we're in our silos that we start wars, right?
Yeah.
It's when we understand each other and see that they too have they love their kids. We're all connected. And so art making is connecting, you know? And I think actually at the end of your life, I think it's the connections, the feeling of connection is really what really matters. Who you love, who's loved you, who's standing there at the end of your life, you know, right? Like we don't really care if we had 3 cars or 27 jets. It's about who's in our life and how close we got to become.
Yeah. And if you created something that had that kind of an impact for people, you know, like when you talk about art being in someone's life every day, it's such a powerful expression and such a gift. I appreciate very much that you've brought awareness again to the value of the work that we do, because I think a lot of times it feels, you know, as well, our gifts should feel easy on some level. It doesn't mean that we're not working on them and wanting to become better, but there is a natural affinity for it. And sometimes we just dismiss that as not a value. And yet that's where all the value is, that this is something that we bring forth to the world that is unique to us. And We were just having this conversation in my group of one of my artists was saying, I have people who say that art is too expensive. So I will send them to this podcast.
Yeah, right, right. Well, you know, absolutely. And our program, you know, as you can tell, there's a lot of mind, you know, there's just a lot of, there's just ways that we need to optimize ourselves so we can do this in a way that is meaningful and helpful and financially viable and sustainable, really, you know?
Yes. Well, let's talk about where my listeners can find you and work with you, because I just learned that you're having a wonderful workshop starting Valentine's Day on February 14th.
Right.
That is welcome for everyone to join. And then your course will launch right after that. And we want to know all the things.
Says. So February 14th, you know, write it down.
Tell everyone you know.
Yeah, Valentine's Day. Yeah, write it down. Tell everyone you know. So it's Valentine's Day, but it's the start of our 1 week. It's about a 1 week course and it's free. And, I'll be doing this year, every year I do more and more with it. We just keep layering on it. It's part, video lessons. It's part live in our free Facebook group. And it's going to be huge. We've had thousands of people do this course, this week long free art workshop. And then at the end of it, yes, we have an opportunity for people, if you know, a small percentage will continue on to do our 12-week creative visionary program. And that starts right after that. But the vast majority of people are, they come back every year. And you know, my goal is to teach as many artists the most helpful things I can. And we pull it off in this free workshop. So an easy way to get a sense of my teaching, to see if it would resonate with you, is that every Sunday I do a free video vlog that I'm talking about some of the things we're talking about here. And if you go to arttolife.com, you can check that out, or simply go to colortips.pdf. And that there's a free color tips. It's a bit of teaching around color. And this is really helpful for people who want to enhance and improve their color in their art. So it's colortips1word.pdf. And
I think you said colortipspdf.com.
Oh my right? God, you're right.
I'm glad I have it in front of me. And I will, for everyone listening right now, not to worry, I will include links in the show notes as well. And Art to Life is with the number 2. Is that
yes.
right? Is
it yeah, art then the two
and life. And then life.com. And that is your program. That's where all of your educational programs
are.
Yeah. You also lead in-person workshops still as well, right? And you travel with those?
Yes. Yeah. So I teach destination workshops, 7-day workshops in different really beautiful settings. We're about to leave in a week down to Sayulita, Mexico. And what we do in Hawaii, we do in Mexico. We have them in Spain. We teach in Esalen. So a lot of Morocco. You know, it's all about what I said, you know, taking yourself and creating an environment that's new, exciting, and different. And so when you come to a workshop, we make sure it's in a place you haven't been. And then your art can kind of like... you know, really takes off because of that. So, and plus I love it for my own life. It's really, really fun. It's fun to be live and make friends and just making art with people in a big room is a blast.
Yeah. Again, nothing better. It's so good. And for collectors who want to purchase your work, would that be at nicholaswilton.com to
Absolutely.
Learn more about you?
And you can follow me at Nicholas Wilton on one word, on Instagram. And there's both those places. There's a downloadable PDF that has my fine art and the prices and the available work, which changes, you know, every month. So do that as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, Nicholas, truly, I feel very inspired. I know that all of my listeners are going to love learning more about you if they don't yet know you on this episode. And I can't thank you enough for taking the time to come and share all of this with us. Again, I'm so happy that artists like you are in the world. And I feel like there's a wonderful momentum and movement of shifting some of those old beliefs around what it means to be an artist in this world.
Absolutely. It's an amazing, fabulous time in history to be an artist. Your timing is perfect.
Nice. Thank you, Nicholas.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You're listening to Creative Thursday, recorded and produced by me, Marisa. You can find all things Creative Thursday at creativethursday.com and creativethursdaycourses.com. You can find all things Nicholas Wilton at nicholaswilton.com, NICHOLASWILTON, and art and the number 2life.com. All of the links we mentioned will be included in the show notes as well. And if you've enjoyed this episode, be sure to let Nicholas know and send your appreciation to him over on Instagram. And let's continue the conversation further and continue to inspire more creativity for all. Have a beautiful creative week, and thank you again for listening. Until next time.